Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For those who love the Northern and Central Sierra, there's a chance you might be lucky enough to spot a rare creature that was once common in the high country. The Sierra Nevada yellow-legged frog called streams, ponds, and lakes home, adapting to survive in the toughest conditions while playing an essential role in its ecosystem. But since the 1970s, their populations began to decline dramatically due to several factors, and the frogs were eventually listed as an endangered species in 2014. In an effort to help boost their numbers, biologists captured more than 160 tiny tadpoles in the waters of Plumas National Forest and dropped them off at the San Francisco Zoo, where they were raised and prepared for life in the wild. Those tadpoles are now frogs, and they made their journey back home, where they were released back into the Plumas National Forest this summer. Ian Vogel is a senior fish and wildlife biologist with U.S. Fish and Wildlife and was there for the homecoming and joins us with more on the critical role these frogs play in the waterways of the Sierra Nevada. Ian, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's start off with the subject of what we're talking about, the Sierra Nevada yellow-legged frog. Where in the Sierra do they mostly live?
So they're found in mid to high elevation streams and lakes all throughout the Sierra Nevada, all the way up from Lassen National Forest down to Sequoia National Forest.
What role do they play in the ecology of the forests and the surrounding landscape?
So they're bug eaters. They eat mosquito larvae and other aquatic insects. And of course, they're prey species to other animals, mm-hmm. such as garter snakes. But frogs are also really good indicators of environmental condition. So they're really sensitive to different toxicants and things like that. So where they are is a pretty good bet that the water quality is pretty clean.
You know, it's surprising. I mean, it's understandable that they're sensitive, but they can survive pretty high elevations. They can live in elevations that range from, 4,500 feet, but up to 12,000 feet. I mean, like Mount Whitney is like a 14,000 footer. So how have they adapted while being sensitive to live in such high elevations?
Yeah, like you said, these frogs are very adaptable. They can handle winters like this past one where, there were dozens and dozens of feet of snow, and they're under the ice in these high alpine lakes. They, they're swimming around, they're feeding under that ice for months at a time. And then as soon as that ice melts, they come back out and start breeding. It's pretty remarkable. Mm.
Given that they were listed as an endangered species about a decade ago in 2014, was there a main factor that caused this dramatic drop in their numbers?
Yeah, there's a few threats that are acting on the species. Like most California species, drought and wildfire can impact them. But really the main concern is the chytrid disease, which is caused by a fungus. It's a fungal disease. And once that fungus was introduced throughout the Sierra Nevada, their populations started crashing. This fungus is really deadly for this species of frog. So that's kind of where this project came into play.
Do we know what introduced the fungus into the Sierra Nevada?
Not necessarily. It spreads pretty easily through waterways, whether it's from introduced species like bullfrogs, or even there's theories that ducks could even spread the fungus from water to waterway. But we're not really sure.
Yeah. And then I would imagine coupled with drought, because during 2014 to now, coupled with drought and the intensity of wildfires, not to mention these powerful atmospheric rivers, I mean, these weather extremes probably didn't help the matter for an already declining population because of this fungus.
Sure. Yeah. All the threats can act together. And, it's just kind of one thing after another for the species. But like we're saying, they're pretty adaptable to, different weather systems. But it's the fungus that really they're struggling to fight right now.
So when did the wheels start turning to collect the tadpoles in 2022 and, take them to the zoo in San Francisco and help them grow to a healthy level where they could be reintroduced back into the wild?
Yeah, so the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, we're committed to recovering endangered species like the Sierra Nevada yellow-legged frog. And the U.S. Forest Service and California Department of Fish and Wildlife came to us with this project idea, and we were able to provide a grant to fund this project. So they were able to go out and collect these tadpoles and bring them to the zoo to raise them there.
What was their life like? How did it help prepare them to return back to the forest?
Yeah, so the zoo does a great job at raising these frogs. They have the resources and expertise to really know how to get them through, you know, the more vulnerable life stages. They give them lots of bugs to eat. They're very happy in the zoo. And the zoo, you know, they're taking care of their health. Like I said, they're given lots to eat so that they can be nice, big, and healthy once they're ready back to go back to the wild.
Looking at the photo that was posted on Fish and Wildlife, you know, they're about the size of, I would say, like the palm of a hand. And you know, obviously they're yellow. They have yellow spots and stuff like that, of course. I mean, they're yellow-legged frogs. When you actually reintroduce them and release them back into the forest, how did it feel like? Because this has been more than a year in the making. You know, they were collected as tadpoles. Was it kind of just like opening it up and letting them out?
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling to bring them back to their natural habitat. We put them in individual containers and then fill up a cooler with all these individual containers with frogs and hike them into the forest and to their natural streams. And once we're there, you know, we collect some data. We get pictures of their chin spots, which is used to identify individual frogs. It's kind of like a fingerprint. Every frog has unique chin spots. And then once we have all that data collected, we let them back out into the pools of the stream. They just pop right away.
What are some of the greatest challenges that these frogs are going to face now that they're back in the forest?
Yeah, so when they're in the zoo, they are treated with it's basically an antifungal bath that it's almost like a vaccine. It helps them get through, you know, the disease while they're in the zoo. In theory, that'll give them a built-up immunity so they can better fight off the disease in the wild. That being said, that fungus is present in the waterways, so that's still something that they're going to fight through. But because they have that immunity, they should have a better chance. And then, of course, you know, predation is always a concern for a species like the Sierra Nevada yellow-legged frog.
When it comes to that fungus that's present in the waterways, are there things that can be done to reduce the presence of this fungus?
We can't really reduce the presence of the fungus. It's more about treating the individual frogs and getting their immunity built up.
You mentioned that the chins of the frogs are kind of like fingerprints. You know, each one is different. I still would think that's pretty difficult when you're trying to monitor them and seeing how they fare and separating them from ones that were just in the wild, you know, since being tadpoles. How are you going to keep track of, you know, the 160 that were released back into the forest?
Yeah, that's a great question because it's hard to see those chin spots, like you said. So that's kind of the backup way to identify them. The best way, while they're in the zoo, the zoo biologist will insert a pit tag, it's called, into the frogs. And that's just like tags that are in our dogs and cats. Same exact thing where when we go back out into the field and we catch a frog, we can scan it and it'll give us that individual ID so we can track where they've moved, you know, and their survivability.
How often do you think this monitoring is going to go on?
So the U.S. Forest Service and California Department of Fish and Wildlife, they'll be out there as much as they can. You know, this project is part of a study. We're trying to figure out how effective that antifungal bath is. So they're going to be out there monitoring pretty often over several years to kind of keep track of how the frogs are doing.
For someone who is going for a hike and maybe wants to take one of these frogs in for themselves, I mean, since you're going to be doing the monitoring, are there some easier spots to catch a yellow-legged frog, not to literally with your hands, but to actually see it for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, they are a rare endangered species, so they're hard to come across. But like I said, the mid to high elevation lakes and streams are where they inhabit. So, you know, as you're hiking around, backpacking around, you could be lucky enough to spot them.
I would imagine it's kind of a tall order, even for biologists like yourself, when you're monitoring them to actually go out and find them and then obviously scan them to make sure that they're the chipped ones.
Yes, they blend in extremely well. You know, they are prey species, so they know how to hide. So it can be very difficult. Even when we know there's a frog in this stream, it can be very difficult to find them.
That's some good exercise for you. Lots of walking. This development, releasing these frogs into the wild, an endangered species, it also comes as we mark the 50th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act, and these frogs are protected under that act. How does that help kind of bring these partnerships, unique partnerships? You partnered with a zoo. There's other partners that are involved at different levels of government. How has that helped to save species that are on the brink or threatened by extinction?
Good question. The partnerships are essential to recovering a species like the Sierra Nevada yellow-legged frog. The Forest Service and California Department of Fish and Wildlife, they're the boots on the ground. They're out there monitoring, making sure the populations are staying healthy. Same with the National Park Service, they're doing the same thing. The zoos, like I said, they have the resources and expertise to raise these frogs in captivity. Then there's groups like UC Santa Barbara and other universities that are doing research that helps guide recovery actions like this and help us make decisions to implement these recovery actions. So it takes a village, and everyone works together for the common goal of recovering the species.
And people who love the outdoors are also a part of that village as well. I understand that, the fungus is there and like you can mitigate it through the frog, but is there anything that, hikers or people enjoying the outdoors can do to help reduce the spread of this fungus?
Like I said, the fungus is kind of spread throughout the Sierra Nevada, but that probably means we're inadvertently tracking it around, as we're hiking around. So a good practice is just making sure you're cleaning your boots and other equipment every time you go out into the forest, just to make sure you're not tracking fungus or other diseases around.
A pretty simple thing. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you so much.
Ian Vogel is a senior fish and wildlife biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service discussing the release of endangered yellow-legged frogs into Plumas National Forest. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Nick Dobis and managing editor Arm Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minada. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Chris Feltz. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.